Good morning. This lecture is for advanced student in his practice. I think this lecture will help you, even though you haven't advanced practice. And at least someday you will understand. This lecture. This is the gist of Dogen's teaching, and various offshoot are the 95 Pascals of his work. This is basic teaching, basic teaching of Dogen. And we have finished the first paragraph anyway. When all things are Buddhist, no Buddhas, no people, no life and death. The Buddhist way for with our attachment. And we grow with our detachment. I can visualize Dogen Zenji, who is just standing watching some flower. He liked plum blossom very much.
One, two, three, four, five, one, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, eleven, twelve.
Which is strong enough to come out through frost and snow. He's just watching it. And he's this statement covers all of our life and all of our history, human history, and Buddhist philosophy. This Pascal, from beginning to end, based on this paragraph. So this is the most important point. The point of whole Pascal. What I noticed here, observing your practice, you are not completely involved in practice, our practice. Your practice is part of, just a small part of your life. 1 hour or 2 hours. In 34 hours. That is your practice. So instead of practicing Zazen here, 2 hours, you think you can do something. If there is something good, better, it may be better to do something. Something else instead of practicing Zazen. This is, I think you, still you have this kind of attitude. But Buddhism is not, our practice is not like that. Our practice, if we are not completely involved in our practice, that is not our practice. It is not 1 hour of 24 hours. So, if I scold you, you may go out. If I give you some candy, you will stay here. I dare say you are impossible. You are just like a child. Because you lack in your confidence to study it as a whole life study. Actually, you cannot get out of Buddhism. It is impossible to get out of. But still you think you can, go out from Buddhism. Go out from Zen, from this Zen. Actually, once you enter, that's all. Someday you have to come back. I know that. I myself tried to get out of it many times. But I couldn't. So, sometimes I may say, you are bad enough. But what is bad? Who is bad? Someone who is good is bad now. Sometimes I say, you are very good. But someone is not good enough is good now. Same thing, isn't it? It doesn't make any sense, good or bad. In Japan, young people say this is absolutely good. It's just emphasized. adjective, emphasizing good. But when we say absolutely good, it is the same thing as absolutely bad. If it is absolutely good, that is absolutely bad. And if when we say absolutely good, it does not mean good or bad. It is something more than good or bad. So in this sense, absolutely good is absolutely bad. But sometimes we say comparatively, this is good, this is bad. This is necessary, this two way of understanding of life is necessary. Sometimes we have to compare something to the other. And we should say, this is comparatively good. Or there will not be no need to say comparatively always. In this sense, we say most of us, most of the time we say comparatively good or bad. Now, this is very important. But this comparatively good or bad life is created a lot of difficulties now. This comparison is the basic attitude towards science and philosophy and intellectualizing our life. When you intellectualize our life, eventually it will end in dead end. That is why we have difficulties in our time. Moreover, originally it is just comparatively good. We are comparatively good than some people. That's all. But nowadays we say absolutely good. This is absolutely good. Here is a big mistake. You know, when you say even in emotionally, that is big mistake. Nothing is absolutely good. When you say absolutely good, it does not mean good anymore. It is same thing as bad. If you understand, if you use it, or if you feel it, in this way, when you say absolutely good, that is all right. But when you say absolutely good, emphasizing something comparatively good, that is a big mistake. You are forcing your way to others. You are deprived of freedom from others. This is a big mistake. But in this, in next paragraph, Dōmen Zenji says, "But we move, that we move ourselves and understand all things is ignorance. That things advance and understand themselves is enlightenment." Here he is talking in the complete understanding of life. What is good? What is ignorance? And what is enlightenment? What is good and what is bad? We say ignorance or enlightenment without knowing what is ignorance and what is enlightenment. But when we say ignorance or enlightenment, we should know what is ignorance in its true sense and what is enlightenment in its true sense. If you think what is ignorance in its true sense, when we say criticizing something, that is move ourselves towards something, you know, and criticize something, good or bad, that is ignorance. That things advance and understand themselves is enlightenment. But when we have no particular concrete idea of good and bad, good or bad, and deep and expose ourselves to their criticism and accept their criticism, that is enlightenment. We may do many things intellectually or intentionally or in the realm of consciousness. But those activities, most of those activities, it's more unconscious activity rather than conscious activity. And which is true expression of yourself? Conscious one or unconscious one? Of course, 99% of your activity is unconscious one. And that is true expression of yourself. If you say, "I am right," and that is, you know, a small part of your expression. Just a small part of your expression. So, you cannot, you know, force yourself to someone else as you understand yourself. We don't know what we are exactly. We don't know it's right. So if you understand in this way, that is enlightenment. Those two statements, ignorance about ignorance and enlightenment, are based on one big understanding of life. Enlightenment is something which will happen to us sometime. And ignorance is something which will come over to us sometime. But we are the boss, including enlightenment and ignorance. So, in our everyday life, there is enlightenment and ignorance. You cannot escape from ignorance to attain enlightenment, because enlightenment is not somewhere else within yourself. So, actually, enlightenment is, as he says, to be, to know what is ignorance is enlightenment. And ignorance is to be ignorant about enlightenment is ignorance. Something good is something bad. If something bad, if I say something is good, that something should be bad. Because it is something, if I say, good morning, you came in time this morning. That's very good. That means he does not come on time, usually. If I score him, why didn't he come on time? It means he comes almost every morning on time. So it's the same thing. Maybe sometime opposite. So we should not be disturbed by the word of ignorance or enlightenment. Anyway, if we understand ourselves completely, there's no special thing as enlightenment or ignorance. Ignorance is enlightenment. Enlightenment is ignorance. It is Buddha who understands ignorance. You see, he said, it is Buddha who understands ignorance, his own ignorance. He's Buddha. When he understands, when he enlightened about his ignorance, and it is people who are ignorant of enlightenment. So, there is no difference between Buddha and people. Same thing, same human being. But Buddha is someone who understands our ignorance. And we are ignorant of enlightenment. But if I say in this way, then there will not be no need to practice Zazen. If we are Buddha, if we are same as Buddha, why we should practice Zazen. This is when you understand this principle or statement. Just intellectually, you will have this problem. But anyway, he says, it is people who are ignorant of enlightenment. Further, there are those who are enlightened about and above enlightenment, and those who are ignorant of ignorance. Enlightenment above enlightenment. If you retain the idea, consciousness of enlightenment, you know, that is not good enough. So you should, you know, go beyond the enlightenment. So if you attain enlightenment, that enlightenment means enlightenment above enlightenment of ignorance. So eventually, you go towards ignorance. You know, when you say, I have attained enlightenment consciousness, that consciousness is delusion. About fact, you attain enlightenment about ignorance. What you know, grasp is ignorance, not enlightenment. There is nothing to understand, you know, but ignorance. For enlightened person, there's nowhere to go. Enlightenment or ignorance. So, if you attain enlightenment, you have to, you know, go back to ignorance, because there's no other way for you to go. So if you attain enlightenment, you have to go back to ignorance. So, enlightenment above enlightenment. Conscious enlightenment is not good enough. So you have to give up enlightenment. When at the moment you attain enlightenment, or when you actually attain enlightenment, what you grasp is ignorance, is your ignorance, or our own ignorance. When you understand the ignorance of yourself, how ignorant you have been, that is enlightenment. So it is impossible for an enlightened person to forget about enlightenment. It is impossible. Because you have found something which you have had. So How can you forget about enlightenment? You should remember. You should abide in enlightenment forever with people who have same nature as his own. So someone who thinks I attained enlightenment, although most of them haven't attained enlightenment yet, I am only person who attained enlightenment. That is big mistake. That is just delusion. He has nothing. He didn't grasp anything. But delusion. It will soon vanish away from his memory, from his experience. So, even though we look like doing the same thing with people, but there's some difference between the people who attained enlightenment and who haven't. But for enlightened one, constant effort will be continued with people wherever he is. And those who are ignorant of ignorance, ignorant of ignorance means people eventually will attain enlightenment. Those people ignorant, who are ignorant of his ignorance, is just now, is just ignorant of his own ignorance. So, he doesn't feel that he has same quality or same nature with as enlightened person. That's all. But eventually, as long as he has same nature as enlightened person, he will, once he become enlightened of his ignorance, he will be saved.
When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they are not necessarily aware of themselves as Buddhas. You see. So when it is, if so, if there is someone who attained enlightenment and go back to ignorance, and if there is someone, although he is ignorant of ignorance, eventually he will become enlightened of his ignorance. Then it is not they are not necessary. It is not necessary aware of themselves as Buddha. If so, no. It is not necessary even to become aware of his Buddha nature. Anyway, we have it. The difference is those who attain the light, who is awakened by his true nature, or he is ignorant of ignorance. That is the difference. So, strictly speaking, it is not always necessary to be aware of ourselves to be Buddha. Same thing. That is why I say you have come back to here, even though you are a thousand miles away from this Zendo, you are included in this Zendo. As our understanding is directed, whether you are here or not is not the point. Do you understand? However, you may ask me, what is the purpose of practice? Anyway, I think you are ready. You have forgotten all what you had on your shoulders now. Actually, there is nothing to do for you. There is nothing especially to do for you. But then, why Dogen Zenji strived for this point for many and many years until he attained enlightenment in China and dropped off his idea of mind and body? It is so, no. But as he said, flowers fall with our attachment, and weeds grow with our detachment. In spite of detachment, flower will go, will fall. So, this is right, actually. And if you do not try to understand this point. Only. George, you know, profound teaching is nothing to, for us. So actually, even though he says in this way, actually, it is necessary to practice, to continue our practice in the realm of duality, as unenlightened people. We should be all unenlightened people. And we should strive for enlightenment. We should do that. While you are striving for it, you will clearly understand what he meant. Intellectually, you have understood it already. Intellectually. But then you can remain doing nothing in sunny place, eating something which you want. Can you do that? Or can you always lie down in your bed reading some interesting stories? Can you do that? No, we cannot. By fire you can do something, you know. That is most people are doing. By fire I can teach something. And if we tired of reading, we will go out. We will work. And if we earn some money to be lazy, we will come back from work. So, continuing your life in this way, you will have no result. You will not find out any meaning of life. Someday, or sometime, you will have deep regret. With what you did, you have been doing, and sometime you will be disgusted with yourself. And you feel disabled to help people, or disabled to love anyone. You know, you will be isolated, completely isolated from this world. So you may care for something good, something which is absolutely true, and try to escape from this life, or commit suicide. This is what we will do, our life. But there's the way to resume this kind of deeper understanding of life and work with people without any prejudice, without any discrimination. And help with each other with mutual understanding. the only way is to be cooperative. share our joy of deeper understanding of life with people. And to participate widely in life, more sincere effort, then you will be perfect human being as well as perfect Buddha's disciple. I went to Palo Alto, a new student who was studying Indian philosophy by Dr. McCarthy. I read many books about them, and I know the term they use, oneness of the duality. But actually, what is oneness of the duality? He said, he asked me. I had no time to discuss about the oneness of the duality. Who understands intellectually pretty well what is oneness of the duality? But I wanted to help him, you know. But I knew that it is impossible to help him immediately until he suffered, until he tried to find out what is oneness of the duality. It may take pretty long time. By long effort, his understanding will, you know, be better and better. Until, this is wonderful. How are you reach this kind of understanding is to suffer in the realm of, you know, actual life, or to think more about our life, or to practice zazen. One of the two. So, to practice Zen in noisy place itself is a way, this is very dualistic way, aware of the noisiness of the outside, try to be calm. This is most extremely dualistic way. But in this effort, there is big hint. So after all those sharp, profound teaching, he just
with some words like this, however, for us all, with our attachment, and we grow with our attachment, comes back to our actual without any thinking. And where we should make our efforts. When we see things and hear things with our whole body and mind, our understanding is not like a mirror with reflections, nor like water under the moon. If we understand one side, the other side is dark. This, you know, three lines is impossible. You cannot do anything with those three lines. This is impossible word statement. And it takes pretty long time to understand this. When we see things and hear things with our whole body and mind, without any idea of enlightenment, or idea of ignorance, when we do something, and go beyond ourselves is to be enlightened by it. Oh, no, no. Our understanding is not like a mirror with reflection. You say the moon is there. The reflection is on the water or in the water. But it is not like that. When you watch the beautiful moon on the breaks of water, waves of water, or calm, silent, still water. That is the moon. So when you see the moon in the water, that is the moon. When you see the moon in the sky, that is the moon. You don't see the moon on the water. It is impossible to see the moon in the water and the moon in the sky at the same time. So only way to, you know, to appreciate the beauty of the moon in the water or the moon in the sky. But intellectually we say enlightenment or ignorance. It means you are you are very busy. What shall I do? If you sit here, you have many disturbance in your mind. If you are at home, you want to sit. When you sit, you have your mind is there. When you are there,
your mind is here. And you are going back and forth. Or move. Very busy move. So he says it is not like it is not like a mirror with reflection. Never like water under the moon. If we understand one side, sky or the water, or some images on the mirror, or some object, you cannot see both sides at once. If we understand one side, the other side is dark. That is true. But usually, you want to see the one side only. Have you some idea or some some desire for the other side? So you cannot accept what you are doing. So you are always, you know, have something else in your mind. You see some one side. But the perfect way is just to watch one side. That is enough. This is pretty strict. Before you understand that, you say this is perfect teacher. It will take time. Because you will have something else, you know, something opposite in your mind always. So then it's something more than just practice. Actually, then it's something more than just cross-legged position. But if you understand something more, you have to, you know, practice it in cross-legged position. There's no other way. One side is enough. You may say, just to sit on your black cushion will not do anything for you. You cannot solve the problems of our life by just sitting. You may say so. You may say so, but it means you are trying to watch both sides. Up and down. Pretty busy. In that way, your practice will not work. If you say, I have to sit, that's all. Period. There's no need for you to think the meaning of Zazen, even if you just sit. That will work out beautifully. This is our Zazen. So one thing is enough. One practice is enough.